Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 7th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Tuesday we are in the Old Testament with Joel, then we go to 2 Corinthians, then we go to 1 John, then we go to Romans, and so in the 1 week you can get doctrine, the whole realm of doctrine from the Word of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is by your amazing grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 5 and 6, we have a very unique and special word group. Rather rare in the New Testament Scriptures. And that is the hikanao word group. H-I-K-A-N-O, long O. That's the verb, and from that verb, which is found in verse 6, comes an adjective. And the adjective is hikanos, H-I-K-A-N-O-S. And there is a noun that comes from that verb as well, hikanotes. H-I-K-A-N-O-T. Long E-S. So here's the verb, hikanao, that's in verse 6, and from this verb comes an adjective, hikanos, and a noun, hikanotes, and they are incorporated here by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:5 and 6 in communicating grace, communicating the grace and power of God. Verse 5 says in a corrected translation, absolutely not that we are hikonos, competent, qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves, to think that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves or because of who and what we are. But our hikonotes, our capability and competence comes from God, the grace and the power of God. And as I mentioned to you last time, this shows you how great the Apostle Paul was. The Apostle Paul was very likely the greatest human genius in all of human history. And yet he was never impressed with who and what he was. He was totally impressed with who and what God is. The Apostle Paul had great, genuine humility and maximum grace orientation. And in Paul's thinking, God was absolutely everything, and he, Paul, was nothing. Paul lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He advanced to spiritual maturity. He had grace righteousness. He lived his life by the grace and the power of God, not by his own human genius, talent, or ability. Paul was totally impressed with who and what God is. He was not impressed at all with who and what Paul is. Paul taught the grace gospel. Paul taught the grace and truth of the Word of God, totally by the grace and the power of God, the filling of the Spirit, and maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. You know what makes great believers great? They're not impressed with who and what they are. They're not impressed with their abilities or their talents. In fact, they realize that they're nothing and they don't deserve one blessing from God. And that all that they have and all that they are is by the grace and power of God. That's what makes a believer great. That phenomenal grace orientation. That phenomenal genuine humility. And the Apostle Paul, if anybody had the right to toot his own horn, beat his own drum, it was Paul. But he didn't. He never did. In fact, you know what he said about himself? I'm the worst sinner of all. That's what he said about himself. I'm the worst sinner of all. That's what he thought. He knew that he was absolutely nothing. But God was absolutely everything. And then in verse 6, the verb. We started out with an adjective, hikonos, and then we went to the noun, hikonotes, and then verse 6, he brings in the verb. Who, God the Father, has qualified us as ministers. And this is the verb, hikonao. And this verb is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, and both times it's by the Apostle Paul. Our verse, 2 Corinthians 3:6, and then the other place is Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And Colossians 1:12, Paul says this, giving thanks to the Father. Well, that's grace orientation. You see, the Apostle Paul had thanksgiving every single day. And that's what God expects all of you to have. God's plan for you is to have thanksgiving every single day. Paul did. Paul had thanksgiving every single day. He had Christmas every single day. And here we see it. Giving thanks to the Father. Maximum grace orientation. That's where thanksgiving comes from. If you're arrogant, you don't ever give thanks. You don't even say thank you. And I've had a lot of believers here in 45 years that never even said thank you about anything. They're too damn arrogant and think that they deserve all these things. But here is the great believer. Maximum grace orientation, and when you have that, you have thanksgiving every single day. Giving thanks to the Father who has hikanao'd you. Did you know that? He has hikanao'd you, qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And for that, the Apostle Paul had thanksgiving every single day. Hikanao means to qualify, but it also means to empower and to authorize. Hikanao takes a double accusative. To qualify someone, that's the first accusative. For something, that's the second accusative. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego is us. Qualify us. Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus. The accusative plural of diakonos is ministers or servants. That's the second accusative. So hikanao qualified us, first accusative, as ministers, second accusative. And there you have the double accusative of the verb hikanao. And then you have the ao ending. And the ao ending is causative. God the Father was caused, motivated to qualify the Apostle Paul and pastor teachers Timothy and Titus as ministers of a new covenant. The new covenant is the Musterion. M-U-S-T long E-R-I-O-N. Musterion. And the Musterion is the mystery doctrines of the church age. The new spiritual life. This is the new covenant. And this was established. First of all, the new spiritual life was lived by the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time in his hypostatic union. And then he passed it on to us, his royal family in the church age. It was first time lived by Jesus Christ, never in the Old Testament at all, first by Jesus Christ and then by passed on to the royal family of God. And now we have a new covenant, Musterion, mystery doctrines of the church age, the new spiritual life, a supernatural way of life, demanding supernatural power for its execution, a spiritual life that has the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Never occurred before in human history, will never occur again. Universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. That never occurred before in any time in the Old Testament. They only had an endowment of the Spirit. They never had the indwelling of the Spirit. They never had the filling of the Spirit. No one in the Old Testament was indwelt or filled with the Spirit. They had an endowment of the Spirit to carry out a task. It was given to them for a specific task, and it could be taken away. And one thing about the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, in the church age, it could never be taken away. You are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You will always be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You can never lose the indwelling of the Spirit, but you can certainly lose the filling of the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live this unique spiritual life. And we have something else that's unique in the Mysterion doctrine of this new covenant, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, every church age believer is baptized into union with Christ. That never occurred before, ever in human history. But it does in the church age. In the new covenant, the baptism of the Holy Spirit making us royal family of God, who God the Father has qualified us, hikanao, as ministers, empowered us, authorized us as ministers of a new covenant. And the new covenant is kainos diatheke. Kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S. Kainos. Kainos means new. It is used in the sense that the old is obsolete and should be replaced by what is new. In such a case, the new is superior to the old. The old is the Mosaic Law. The new is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. And kainos, the adjective, modifies the noun diatheke. That's D-I-A-T-H, long E, K, long E, diatheke. And diatheke is God's decree or covenant for the royal family of God in the church age. This new covenant is in contrast to the old covenant, the Mosaic Law. The old covenant, as we're going to see in our passage, kills, but the new covenant gives life. So we have so far in verse 6, who God the Father has hikanao'd us, qualified us, empowered us, authorized us as ministers of a new covenant. Now we go on, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. This is the objective negative u plus the genitive singular of grandma. We don't have grandpa, just grandma. Plus the adversative conjunction Allah. Plus I get a kick out of looking at some of your faces when I say some of these things. You make it fun for me from time to time, just looking at you. This is the objective negative u plus the genitive singular of grandma plus the adversative conjunction Allah plus the genitive singular of pneuma. And the objective negative u slams the door. You know that now. You've heard it enough times. And one of the ways to bring that across, to demonstrate that, is to translate it, absolutely not. And that's how we'll translate it. And then we have grandma. G-R-A-M-M-A. That's probably how you all spell grandma, too. And then grandpa is G-R-A-M-P-A. Don't work on that too hard. Literally, grandma means a letter of the alphabet. It literally means a letter. Letter of the alphabet. Figuratively, it means a document or a piece of writing. Specifically, It is used for an epistle, a book, or the Mosaic Law. And in our verse, it is used for the Mosaic Law. Absolutely not of the letter, the Mosaic Law. And then we have the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, Allah. A-L-L-A, Allah. Now, this sets up several contrasts. One, Allah contrasts the Mosaic Law with the Holy Spirit. It contrasts the Mosaic Law with the Holy Spirit. Two, it contrasts the Old Covenant with the New Covenant. It contrasts the Old Covenant with the New Covenant. Three, it contrasts the Age of Israel with the Church Age. Contrasts the Age of Israel with the Church Age. Four, it contrasts the Mosaic Law that kills with the Holy Spirit who gives life. It contrasts the Mosaic Law that kills with the Holy Spirit who gives life. Five, it contrasts condemnation with justification. Contrast condemnation with justification. So absolutely not of the letter, the Mosaic Law, but, and then we have pneuma. And this word is used many, many different ways in the Word of God. It's used for the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, and that's how it's used here, for God the Holy Spirit. It's used for the human spirit. It's used for breath, wind, breathing. It's used for angels, spirit beings, angels, the good ones, the good guys, and the evil spirits or demons. It's used for communicators of the Word of God. These different books, right now we have God the Holy Spirit as the pneuma, but we're going to see it in all these different books that we're in, four of them. We're going to see pneuma used in several different ways. In fact, in 1 John, we get a little bit farther down the road, it's used of communicators who are very eloquent, who are persuasive. And those eloquent and persuasive communicators were Gnostics in John's day, false teachers. They were influenced by demons, demon influence. They were disciples of the devil. And they are described as spirits. And then also sound, faithful communicators who communicate grace and truth, like John and Paul, Peter, they are also, as communicators, called pneuma, spirits, and they are influenced by God the Holy Spirit. So, where you're warned in 1 John chapter 4 to analyze the spirits, analyze these communicators, whether they are being influenced by demons, disciples of the devil, or influenced by God the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be when we get to 1 John chapter 4. We're not there yet, but we will, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. The creek is not rising around here, so don't worry about it. So we have pneuma, God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, who, God the Father, has qualified, authorized us as ministers of a new covenant, absolutely not of the letter, the Mosaic law, but of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Killeth and giveth. We have the conjunction gar plus the nominative singular of grammar with the definite article plus the present active indicative of apokeno plus the conjunction de with the nominative singular of pneuma with the definite article and the present active indicative of zoapoyao. Start out with the conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. This is an illative gar. An illative gar introduces a reason. You can't correctly translate it for. And then we have ta gramma, and this is the letter, which is the Mosaic law, again. And then the verb apokteno. Looks like that in the Greek. A-P-O-K-T-E-N-N, long O. Apokteno. Couple of things on this verb. One, literally, it means any way of depriving a person of life, physical life. Any way of depriving a person of life, physical life. Two, figuratively, it is depriving a person of true spiritual life. Figuratively, depriving a person of true spiritual life. Three, the purpose of the Mosaic Law is condemnation. The purpose of the Mosaic Law is condemnation. Four, the Mosaic Law shows everyone, the whole world, that we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We are all spiritually dead. And that's Codex number one, the commandments. The Mosaic Law shows us that we are all sinners, we're all spiritually dead. The commandments of Codex 1. Turn over to Romans 3. We studied this in Romans 3. So you should be all filled in on this. Romans 3. Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. Romans 3, 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world held accountable to God. The whole world. We're all sinners. We're all spiritually dead. We all need a Savior. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. We realize that we are sinners, we're spiritually dead, we need a Savior. Turn over to James 2. James 2. You see, at the time when Jesus Christ was here at the first advent, there were a few believers that were Jewish, but most of them had distorted the Mosaic Law into a system of salvation by works, a false gospel. Operation Rich Young Ruler. He thought he was so great. He kept all the commandments. He thought he kept all the commandments. Now, there's only one person who has fulfilled the law perfectly, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. But there were a lot of self-righteous Jews who thought that they were a slam dunk for being in heaven because they had kept all of these commandments in the Mosaic law. James 2 verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law, that would be like the rich young ruler, and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. Stumbles at one point, he has become guilty of all. And that was the rich young ruler. And he wasn't saved. He thought he was, but he wasn't. So the Mosaic Law shows us that we are sinners. The whole world is spiritually dead. Codex number 1. Romans 3, 19 and 20. James 2, 10. 5. And therefore, then the Mosaic Law tells us that we need a Savior. It tells us that we need a Savior and points us to the Lord Jesus Christ in shadow Christology and soteriology, and that's Codex number 2 of the Mosaic Law, where the Lord Jesus Christ is presented in shadow form, both Christology and soteriology. Who and what he is, his hypostatic union, the Ark of the Covenant, a wood box, the wood made out of wood, the true humanity of Jesus Christ covered with gold, the deity of Jesus Christ, together the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. And then it had inside were items of sin representing the sins of the world imputed to Christ on the cross and judged in him. And then a mercy seat on top. And on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take a lamb without spot or without blemish, the impeccability, representing the impeccability of Jesus Christ, his sinless perfection. Slaughter the lamb, take the blood, and the high priest, and only the high priest, would go in and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. The two cherubim looking down, representing the holiness of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and that blood propitiated, satisfied the integrity of God, the righteousness and justice of God. And all of this was by shadow form, presenting Christology and soteriology of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, point five, the Mosaic Law tells us that we need a Savior, and then points us to the Lord Jesus Christ in shadow Christology and soteriology. Turn to Romans 3. Again, maybe you're still in Romans 3. Romans 3, 21 and 22. Romans 3, 21 and 22. Romans 3, 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the Mosaic Law, apart from the works of the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. And this righteousness from God comes not through trying to keep the works of the law, not by the commandments, but this comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And then we have the conjunction de. De. And it also is a conjunction of contrast, correctly translated, but it's contrasting the Mosaic Law with the Holy Spirit. It's contrasting the Mosaic Law that killed with the Holy Spirit that gives life. It contrasts the condemnation of the Mosaic Law with regeneration and spiritual birth, which gives eternal life. And then we have pneuma again, and this and again, once again, it's the Holy Spirit. And then the verb zoa poieo. That's Z long O O P O I E long O. Zoa poieo. All right, a couple of things on this verb. One, zoa poieo means to make alive, to give life to make alive, to give life to. Two, God the Holy Spirit is the power for regeneration, spiritual birth, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit is the power for regeneration, spiritual birth, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. At the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. And God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. The unbeliever, we come into the world dichotomous, a body and a soul, but no human spirit. We're spiritually dead. But at the moment of faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. Now we're trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. And there is regeneration, spiritual birth. God the Holy Spirit is the power for regeneration, spiritual birth, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. For God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Three, the universal indwelling of the Spirit in every church age believer is the base of operations for the filling of the Holy Spirit and living the spiritual life. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and living the spiritual life. Four, so the filling of the Holy Spirit is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. There was never a spiritual life like this in the Old Testament. In fact, what was the spiritual life of the Old Testament believers? You should know this. What was the spiritual life of the Old Testament believer? We got this coming up too. I love being in all these different books. Spirituality in the Old Testament was something called faith rest. Faith rest. In fact, the Apostle Paul is going to go back and quote David in the Psalms. David living the spiritual life by the faith rest life, and the Apostle Paul, he knew this passage in Psalm perfectly, and he brings it over to the church age and the spiritual life of the church age, which is the indwelling and filling of the Spirit, and along with the teaching ministry of the Spirit. So three, the universal indwelling of the Spirit in every church age believer is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. Four, the filling of the Spirit is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Five, the power of the filling of the Spirit enables every church age believer to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. The power of the filling of the Spirit enables every church age believer to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. So, the corrected translation now of verse 6 sounds like this. In fact, let's put verse 5 and verse 6 together now. Absolutely not that we are hikanos, competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves, to think that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves because of who and what we are, but our hikanotes, our capability and competence comes from God. The grace and power of God, who, God the Father, has qualified us, hikanao, as ministers of a new covenant, absolutely not of the letter, the Mosaic Law, but of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, in verses 7 and 8, a contrast between the glory of the Mosaic Law in the age of Israel with the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age. Verses 7 and 8. A contrast between the glory of the Mosaic Law in the age of Israel with the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death, we always start with the King James, thundering diction of the King James. This is the postpositive conjunction death plus the conditional particle ae plus the nominative singular of diakonia with the definite article plus the genitive singular of thanatos with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction death, and you say, well, it's a adversative conjunction sometime, not here. So wrong. This is a transitional death. And therefore, it may be translated and, moreover, then, or now. And then the conditional particle ae. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English as well. And ae plus the indicative, which is what we have, introduces a first-class condition. If the Mosaic Law had a glory, first-class condition, and it did have a glory. But the glory of the Mosaic Law was a fading glory. So this is a AE plus the indicative introducing a first class condition. If the Mosaic Law had a glory, first class condition, and it did have a glory, but the glory of the Mosaic Law was a fading glory. Diakonia, diakonia, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A, diakonia. Diakonia means ministry or service, and then thanatos. By the way, Cliff and Ryan did a fantastic job Sunday. I couldn't write anything up here. And they got all the bugs out, and they brought a new pen, Ford Pen for Dummies. And they gave it to me, and I said, thank you very much. Thanatos means condemnation, punishment, judgment, death. Condemnation, punishment, judgment, death. Now, corrected translation, now, if the ministry of death, a couple of things. One, the Mosaic Law is a ministry of death. The Mosaic Law is a ministry of death. We saw that in Romans 3, 19 and 20. We saw that in James 2, 10. Two, this phrase is putting the spotlight on Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments. And the commandments point out that we are all sinners, we're all in spiritual death, and we need a Savior. So this phrase is putting the spotlight on Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments. Romans 3, 19 and 20, James 2, 10. 3, Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law proves that the whole human race, all mankind, are sinners. We're all in the status of spiritual death, and we all need a Savior. So Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law proves that the whole human race, all mankind, we're all sinners. We are all in the status of spiritual death. So the Mosaic Law. Now if the ministry of death, that's the first Codex 1 of the Mosaic Law. We are all in spiritual death. We need a Savior. 4, Codex number 2 of the Mosaic Law is a shadow Christology and soteriology that points to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Codex number 2 of the Mosaic Law is a shadow Christology and soteriology that points to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. 5, Codex number 3 of the Mosaic Law are the laws of divine establishment and present how a nation is to function. Boy, we are violating all of the laws of divine establishment in our nation today. I have not seen one thing this administration has done that lines up with the absolute truth of the Word of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they want everybody to go electric so that we don't destroy the planet. They're attacking poor people in the United States of America. We got lots of oil and gas. I just saw today this, our president canceled anything of the United States drilling for any more oil or gas. Canceled it all because, and he doesn't mind that you're paying $5, $6 a gallon for your gas because he wants you to all go to electric and not have a car that runs on gas. Everything about that is, well, what is global warming? It's operation. This is what the Antichrist is going to use to get everybody to. He will become the world ruler. Get power. Save the planet. This is Operation Antichrist and the Tribulation. It's all being set up. And we got a lot of, well, James says there's a lot of Antichrist operating in the world right now. Well, they are. And they're in the United States. They're operating right now. I wouldn't be surprised if the rapture occurred before I finish this verse. Now, if the ministry of death, Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments, written and engraved in stones, was glorious. This is the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of gramma plus the perfect passive participle of entupao plus the dative plural of lithos plus the aorist passive indicative of ginomai plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of doxa. N plus the dative plural of gramma in letters, and then entupao. N-E-N-T-U-P-O long O. And you might be sitting there and saying, I've never seen that verb here. I've been here for years and years and years. Well, that's because it's a hypoxlegomenon. This is the only time that this verb is found in the New Testament scriptures. One, entupao means to carve or to engrave. To carve or to engrave. Two, the a-o ending, again, is causative. The letters of Codex number 1, the commandments, were caused to be carved and engraved on stone tablets on Mount Sinai. The letters of Codex number 1, the commandments, were caused to be carved and engraved on stone tablets on Mount Sinai. Three, the Lord dictated the commandments to Moses, and Moses engraved the dictation into stone. And then the dative plural of lithos. L-I-T-H-O-S. Lithos is the word, the stone tablets of the Mosaic Law. And then ginomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Ginomai. Ginomai can mean to become something. It is also used as a substitute for the to-be verb ame, as it is here. Then N plus the dative singular of doxa. You ought to be familiar with that now. And doxa is brightness, splendor, radiance, and sometimes translated glory. This is the word for glory. It means brightness, splendor, radiance, glory. Now, if the ministry of death, Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments, in letters engraved on stones, were with glory, they came with glory, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. This is hosta plus the infinitive of dunamai plus the infinitive of atanidzo with the negative me plus the accusative plural of huios with the definite article and the proper noun Israel and the preposition ace, accusative singular of prosopon with the definite article and the genitive singular of the proper noun mouses. Start out with hosta. H long O S T E, hosta. Hosta plus the infinitive introduces a result clause. That's what we have. Hosta plus the infinitive. Dunamai D-U-N-A-M-A-I. Dunamai. Dunamai means to be able to do something with the negative may, which is what we have. It means not able to do something. Not able to what? Not able to atanidzo. A-T-E-N-I-Z long O. Atanidzo. Atanidzo means to look intently at something or look intently at someone. It means to look with concentrated attention. And then the accusative plural of huios is the accusative of general reference. That means it serves as the subject of the infinitive. Tus huios Israel, the sons of Israel. The preposition eis plus the accusative, direction toward something or someone. And then prosopon, face, and mouses, Moses. So the corrected translation sounds like this. Now, if the ministry of death, Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments, in letters engraved on stones were with glory, they came with glory, with the result that the sons of Israel, the Israelites, were not able to look intently at the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. This is the prepositional phrase dia plus the accusative singular of doxa with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of prosopon again with a definite article, and the genitive singular of autos. Now, dia plus the accusative, and you should know this. Dia plus the genitive is always by means of or by the agency of. That's dia plus the genitive. Dia plus the accusative is because of, on account of, because of, on account of the doxa. D-O-K-S-A, doxa. Doxa, brightness, splendor, radiance, glory of his face, that is the face of Moses, because of the glare of the glory of his face, because of the radiance of his face, because of the splendor of his face. The word, there was a glory that was related to the Mosaic Law. God gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai. God is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. The Mosaic Law is perfect. And the Mosaic Law has a glory. God is glory. The Word of God is glory. The Mosaic Law has a glory. And Moses would come down with the tablets, and then he would teach the children of Israel. Teach them everything that God had given him. And as he came down, he had this radiant glory in his face. They had a hard time looking at him with this radiant glory. When he came down and taught them, he taught them and he had this great glory. But when he stopped, when he finished teaching, the glory faded. He put a veil on, so that they couldn't see the fading glory. Then he'd go back up to Mount Sinai and get the next batch. Then he'd come back down again. Veil down, glory face. Come down, glory while he's teaching. When he finished teaching, the glory faded. Put the veil back up, go back up and get some more. Kept coming down, communicating the Decalogue. So because of the glory of his face, the face of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai, which glory was to be done away? That tells us about this glory. This glory is a katargeo glory. We have the articular present passive participle of katargeo. Now we learn something about the glory of the Mosaic Law. Katargeo. K-A-T-A-R-G-E long O. Katargeo. 1. Literally, it means to abrogate, to cancel, to nullify, to abolish. To abrogate, to cancel, to nullify, to abolish. Two, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to pass away, to fade away, to fade out. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to pass away, to fade away, to fade out. Three, the glory and radiance on Moses' face received the action of fading away. The glory and radiance on Moses' face received the action of fading away. For this is a fading glory. A fading glory. Five, this was a glory that Moses had when he came down from Mount Sinai, and while he was teaching the Mosaic law given to him by God. This was a glory that Moses had when he came down from Mount Sinai, and while he was teaching the Mosaic law given to him by God. Six, but once Moses finished, the glory faded away. Once Moses finished, the glory faded away. So Moses put a veil on his face, a veil down over his face. Seven. So what Paul is saying is, there is a glory that belongs to the Mosaic law, but it was a fading glory. There is a glory that belonged to the Mosaic law, but it was a fading glory. Eight. But there is a greater glory that belongs to the universal indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit as the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And this is an increasing glory. But there is a greater glory that belongs to the universal indwelling of the Spirit and filling of the Spirit as the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And this is an increasing glory. And that's verse 8. See, we got the fading glory, verse 7. We have the increasing glory, verse 8. We're not going to get there tonight, but we will get there next time. So now let's take a look at this again, what we have in verse 7. Now if the ministry of death, codex number 1 of the Mosaic law, the commandments, which point out that we're sinners and in spiritual death, in letters engraved on stones, were with a glory, if they had a glory, first class condition, and they did have a glory, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory was fading away? It was a fading glory. Well, we're going to take it up at this and get to verse 8 next time, and the increasing glory of the church age, the Spirit, the unique spiritual life, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in you, which enables you to be filled with the Spirit, and there's an increasing glory that gets greater and greater and greater as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it has impact for all eternity. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.